Welcome to the Gone Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Howell.
And I'm your host, Angie Rogers Howell.
What is the Gone Boss Podcast?
Well, it's a weekly podcast featuring awesome people in our community. We'll interview them, find out what makes them tick, the cool things they're doing to make our community a great place to live and work, and how they've gone boss.
Interact with us on Facebook and Instagram just by searching Gone Boss.
Now sit back, relax, and find out who has
gone boss. In the studio with me, I have Allison Spradlin. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, what's your official title over there at IU Health?
I am an oncology nurse navigator.
Okay, what's that mean?
If you think of the word navigator, that's essentially what I do. I help people who have been diagnosed with cancer and or living with cancer just navigate the complexities because they're seeing multiple doctors, there's multiple tests available to them. And I work very specifically with a population to look at genomics testing, which is cancer DNA.
Okay, how's that all work then?
So essentially cancer is a disease of DNA mutations, and science has allowed us to be able to identify mutations or alterations on the DNA to allow for more targeted treatments instead of the more broad approach of chemotherapies. We can do targeted medicine.
Now, I'm just going to ask a crazy question. So could you take a sample from me, look at my DNA and say, hey, this guy's going to get prostate cancer when he's like 60. Are we there yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. But we can, we are getting better at that. We're able to use blood testing for some surveillance for those who have had surgery for cancer, but might not need chemotherapies. So that's one angle of what I help with is looking for those surveillance blood draws for an early detection of a recurrence.
All right. Now, you mentioned this gene testing can help you hone in where the situation is and then, you know, treat it. So Give me an example of that.
Okay, great example. Genomic sequencing, or when we look at cancer DNA, when we take a sample, whether it's tissue or a blood sample, we're capturing that cancer cell. The technology available looks for that very specific DNA mutation on the DNA or the RNA of a cell. So looking back at your basic biology. So in some cancers, we know there are mutations that are already targetable with pharmaceuticals, but sometimes it's a little more obscure and we cast a wider net, so to speak, to look for mutations that we wouldn't normally associate. For example, we look at a prostate cancer. Like you mentioned earlier, prostate cancer has evolved where we've been able to identify specific gene mutations, which we normally saw in breast and ovarian cancer, which is the BRCA gene, which people might have heard of before. So BRCA gene is now a targetable mutation in prostate cancer. And the first experience I had with that, we were able to use a drug that was more commonly used in ovarian cancer at that time.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So how did you get where you're at today? So take me back. You're a Munsonian, right?
Yes, yes.
In fact, we had your sister on the podcast just an episode or two ago. Tell me about that, growing up in Muncie and how you got here.
I grew up in Muncie. I have two sisters, as you mentioned. I have a twin sister and an older sister. Mom and dad raised us up through elementary, middle school. I decided I was going to go to Ball State, being at home, but we lived in the dorms because dad wanted to pretend we were 300 miles away. But no, it took me a little while I was at Ball State to figure out what I wanted to do. My mom was a nurse. My older sister was a nurse. I wanted to be different, but eventually the path led and I went into nursing school and I fell in love with it. I had a mentor at the time and she was the manager of the oncology unit at Ball Hospital and she encouraged me to apply as a student nurse. I fell even deeper in love with it. So I worked on the floor for 10 years as a registered nurse after I graduated. And then I had an opportunity presented to apply for a genomics position, knowing nothing about genomics. I knew zero. And it was intimidating, but it was exciting. And the prostate cancer example I gave you before was actually one of those leading reasons that made me want to take a step further. So I've been at the cancer center now for 9 years, and I am currently also in school for a nurse practitioner.
Yeah, tell me more about the education behind all this.
Sure. So I obtained bachelor's of science in nursing for undergrad. Currently, I'm pursuing a master's. To be a nurse practitioner, you can obtain a master's degree in nursing, or you can pursue a doctorate, which is becoming the encouraged trend. But I've been in the field for almost 20 years. I've enjoyed going back to school. It's rigorous. I'm currently in the clinical setting, so I'm learning a little bit more than just cancer, learning about all sorts of different things. Because, and that's one of the beauties of nursing, you can work in any field. You can find something anywhere. It's just a matter of finding your favorite fit.
So tell me how you're juggling all this, because full-time position, I take it, over at IU Plus?
Yes, I am a full-time employee. I typically work Monday through Friday. I've been very fortunate with mentors and leaders who strongly encourage advancement. So part-time student, full-time oncology nurse navigator, work a lot of hours. I have a very patient and loving husband who helps support everything at home so that I can pursue this for us.
I don't know. Do you have any children?
I do not have any children. That would be another element that would add a lot to this part of my life.
Yeah.
That would be a little harder juggle.
So tell me a little bit more about your family, your dad in particular, because I asked your sister about him as well. And I know him from an old man's club I was in. So tell me a little bit about him.
Gary Demery, the G-man, as he's more known. He retired a couple years ago, but all through our lives, he has always been a gentle supporter. He has always been very supportive of his three girls and his wife in all of our pursuits. He kept us in line when we needed it, but it was always gentle. It was always very encouraging. And he's always one at the end of the day that I could call just to help give me another perspective.
And before he retired from the wealth management side of things, he was in advertising.
He was actually. My first memory is he opened up his own company called Demery Consulting and was in the building just down here.
At the Rose Court?
At the Rose Court building, yes. So I remember as a kid, we used to go over that building and run around the staircases and just enjoy being at the office with him, because he did work a lot of hours. So while my mom was a nurse too, they were able to work their schedules around us being able to be at home, but that would mean we'd have to go in occasionally to spend time at the office, which probably drove him a little bit crazy, but he would never let us know that.
What would you tell a young person just starting out? Some advice in your field.
What I would encourage someone younger in my field is to always pursue new information within your field. In healthcare, and specifically in oncology care, which is my home base, it's ever evolving. And the pursuit of it will only help you advance. And if I had to get even more specific, in the oncology world, I would definitely look into genetics and genomics. It's where cancer care is going.
Now, you mentioned a lot about the science of cancer care and things like that. What about the people?
Oh, the people are my favorite part. The people are absolutely my favorite part. I'm very glad you asked. We all encounter people living with cancer all the time. Some people are affected differently than others. I mentioned I had mentors in my past. I've been very fortunate to have wonderful mentors. The very first mentor I remember always encouraged us to surround yourself with people who excel, who always want better for the people around them. And I truly think my patients have done that for me. The people I have worked with teach me how to live. They teach me what matters. They teach me where to put my worries and where to let things go. I feel very close to them, and they let me into a very intimate part of their life. It's scary. It's intimidating, but they truly teach me how to live. And so surrounding myself with them is a constant reminder of just how to look at life.
Now, you mentioned your husband. Now, what's he do?
My husband, Steve. He works with Muncie Community Schools. He has been in education. I've lost track, but definitely in the 20-something years. And he was a swim coach for also 20-some years. Elementary school by education, also a Ball State grad, which is where we met. Took us a few more years to get
to get together.
But no, he's a very strong individual, and he has advanced. He went back to school for MBA. Steve currently works as the chief technology officer for Muncie Community Schools. So anything that plugs into a wall, basically, he helps out with, or that is attached to the internet.
Exactly. Like, so all those laptops and different things that the kids have.
Yes. Yes.
So what keeps you in Muncie? I mean, you could do this anywhere, any hospital in the country. What keeps you here?
My parents have always encouraged us to appreciate Muncie and what it has to offer. they always looked for the opportunities that were maybe hiding in plain sight, so to speak. While I was in college, I was fortunate to do a couple travel programs. I traveled to Thailand. I did a semester in London. And Muncie was always nice to come home to. You can get a little bit of everything here. We live out in the country, but it's a 15-minute commute for both of us to come to work. So.
Now, I remember, I was in college talking to people that did that overseas thing. You actually did it. So tell me about that.
Ball State had a great exchange program or like a foreign affairs program. And they had something called the London Center. I was a freshman, just still kind of juggling what I was interested in doing and just wanted to explore and have any opportunity I could. So signed up, went. Great time. Would definitely go back as an adult because at 19 years old, traveling by yourself, you just don't know a whole lot back then. So I would definitely go back there. But my absolute favorite trip was going to Thailand. I was there for a month.
A month. Okay. Yeah. So what was that like? Where'd you live? What was the situation?
Ball State had a program with their Asian Studies course. And during my victory lap at Ball State, I did take an elective course with Asian Studies. And so we had the opportunity to travel. And the professor was originally from Thailand. And he worked with a group of medical students that we were able to travel with and work on communication skills and learning the cultures. Because in Thailand, they could choose to learn medicine in English or in their native language. And so we were working with the group that was learning in English. It was a little primitive. We went to state parks, you know, one of those adventures where you are out camping and might shower every 3 days or something like that. But it was in a foreign country, but it was very well guided. It was a very organized trip because, again, it was with Ball State.
Sure.
But learning the people, they truly are the happiest people in the world. And so, like I said earlier, surround yourself with the best and they teach you how to live. So
now it sounds like your life's pretty intense with the science and what you do. So what do you do for fun?
I go to the lake.
Go to the lake. What's
that
mean?
I go to the lake. My parents own a lake home just 2 hours north of Muncie, up in just north of Angola. It's Lake George. For the last 5 years, my husband and I have tried to go up there every weekend between Memorial Day and Labor Day and a little bit in between. We bought a ski boat last year. And
do you ski?
I used to. I got up last summer for the first time in 25 years.
Okay.
So determined to try. But yeah, we go to the lake. We cook. I really do like to garden, but that's on hold for now.
Got
to
get through the schooling, right?
Got to get through the schooling. Yeah. Lake is my first. Cooking. I really like to read books for fun. Pretty typical. I like true crime. So I listen to a lot of that.
Yeah. The wife, she's a murderino, I think is how you put it there.
I'm a crime junkie.
Now, we've mentioned you're a twin to someone. What is that like to have someone that supposedly looks like you? It's like looking in a mirror, I guess.
It's a different experience every day. I remember when we were kids, people would ask that question a lot. And my response is, what's it like not being a twin? I wonder if Meredith said that too. We are identical. We are very much alike if you just meet us for the first time. But once you get to know us, I might need a little more encouragement. She has her strengths. And where she has places that she needs encouragement, that's where I can support her. So we're two individual people, but together we really have always been a unified person with individual interests.
Now, definitely your looks are a little different.
Yes. Yes.
Meaning at least hairstyles and fashion and things like that.
Yes.
So tell me about that, because she said, of course, her journey was to stand apart a little bit.
That's true. Yes. Thank you for saying that. I've always said that she's the extrovert between the two of us, and I've always been more of the introvert. As we've gotten older, I've truly admired her eccentric personality and her love of joy. She's always encouraging. I see her with her kids and her kids' friends, and she's just the ever cheerleader. She's really awesome. And I think she uses me as kind of her grounding in some ways. I don't know if she'll roll her eyes when I say that, but I tend to have a little bit more of a calmer, I don't want to say down to earth, because she is that way too. It's that yin yang. It's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a balance. She's a very joyful person, and I am also a very joyful person, but I think I help ground a little bit in a good way.
All right. What's your favorite band or artist?
That's a hard one.
I know.
There's different areas of my life that, you know, you enjoy. I'd say the most consistent, always been an Eddie Vedder fan.
Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam?
Yep. I named my cat after Eddie when I had a cat.
Now, when was the first time you heard Pearl Jam?
It would have been middle school.
Okay.
Early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got into it then, loved it as I grew older. And then his newer stuff has just been a lot of fun for me. It's good lake music.
Are you an early bird or a night owl?
I'm a very early bird.
Very early bird. What's
that mean?
I love
getting up early. I'm the most productive in the mornings. I would say I'm up 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. That's Holy where cow. I get
that the, is Earth.
That's where I get my brain going. That's where I have the time for my own thoughts. That's where I have my time to exercise. That's where I plan my day. And I'm definitely a planner, which might be another difference between Meredith and I. She likes to be a lot more flexible, and I'm a little more a planner.
Do you have a favorite book?
I don't have a favorite book. I'm open to... Actually, I do have a favorite book.
What is it?
You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. She has some of the most impactful insights and affirmations that really, really helped me grow. And I would encourage anyone to pick up that book or listen to it on audiobook. I listen to it on my way to work. That's my morning affirmation.
Have you ever met anyone famous?
Yes. Meredith may have already told you, but we had an eighth grade trip to Washington, D.C., and we met Al Borland from Home Improvement.
Really?
Yeah, we
did. No, she didn't say that.
Okay. Yeah, so we met Al Borland. We were standing outside one of the monuments in Washington, D.C., and I'm not sure what drew our attention because we were eighth grade and there's been a lot of years since then, which is a little more of an obscure famous person. Other than that, I don't know that I recall right off the top of my head meeting anyone famous.
Oh, he's famous. That's good.
I think so.
What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie has been Love Actually.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
I have. Now, why?
It's a storytelling movie. I love stories. I love insights into life and emotions and experiences. And that movie looks at human connection. It has a love story. It has a sad story. And it just shares a lot of human connection.
What's your guilty pleasure?
I think my guilty pleasure is a good bottle of wine. One of my favorite things at the end of the day is when my husband and I can sit out in the driveway and just talk, have a glass of wine, watch the sun go down. It's a beautiful experience.
Star Wars or Star Trek? Neither. You can say neither. You can say one or the other or both.
I've enjoyed Star Wars. My husband and I watched the movies. We watched them he's a planner. We watched them in, you know, the sequential order.
In the order, yes.
Yes. But I remember growing up, I liked Star Trek because that's what I watched with my dad. So I guess I'm 50-50 on it.
Okay. So both.
Both.
Thank you so much for coming in today. Really appreciate you.
Thank you for the time. You've had some great folks on this podcast, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
You know, one of my all-time favorite movies is Fargo. Mm-hmm. And they've come out with an anthology series. Is that how you say
it? Yeah, a TV show series.
A TV show, Fargo. And we started watching that here recently, the first few episodes with John Hamm.
Right. Now, we started with like season 4 or 5 or whatever it is.
Yeah, we couldn't get it right and start with season 1.
But it's an anthology, so it doesn't really matter. But so we were watching that, and you're like, oh, wow, this is kind of like a take on the original movie. Right, Angie? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I've never seen the original movie. Fargo. And I'm like, what? I just watched it in February.
I know. You're like, again. I've watched that movie so many times. I'm like,
I probably watch it yearly.
With who? Not with me.
Me.
Not with me. So Matt's like, well, before we continue with this TV show, we should watch the original Fargo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, fine. And maybe I just wasn't in the right headspace, but...
I don't know. You just did not enjoy the experience of the 90s movie classic, Fargo.
I hated it. I don't think it was not like I didn't enjoy the
characters
experience.
Characters are fantastic.
I hated it.
Oh, my
It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And like for the first good chunk, nothing happens. I'm like, what? This is not exciting.
It's all the setup.
I'm like, where is the wood chipper? I know the wood chipper's coming, but it's going to be 3 hours from now. It is so
boring.
It's
a short movie. It's an hour and a half movie.
No way. We watched it for at least 3 hours. So that's what it felt like. It was,
and we only got halfway through before you're like, let's turn this off.
I said, you can finish it. I'm going to bed. It was dumb. It wasn't funny. I don't understand why this. I know Tom Hanks says it's like one of the best pieces of
film cinema ever.
History ever. And I'm like, I don't understand. It's not funny. It's not exciting. It is so dumb. I don't like it. But I also don't like movies that a lot of people
Buscemi's in it.
I mean, like Steve Buscemi. Oh. I like him. I don't get it. I don't like it. I also don't, you know what else movie I think is the dumbest movie I've ever seen?
What's that?
Christmas Vacation. I hate it. It's dumb. It's so stupid.
Another classic.
I know. I hate it. It's the dumbest movie I've ever seen.
We watched it a couple of years ago during the pandemic or something like that. My parents
with
were
your
down,
parents,
and it was like they've never seen it either.
I don't think
and they
had.
Laughed their butts off. It was so funny.
They did. I was like, can't watch this with my in-laws who act like they've never seen it before, and I hate this movie. So I went and I took a nap. That's the dumbest movie ever. I hate all the movies that people like that they think of. I hate Christmas Story. That's stupid. You'll shoot your eye out. I hate it. It's dumb.
You've got something against holiday movies and snow, I think.
Well, I don't like holiday movies in general.
Because Fargo is not a holiday movie, but it has a lot of snow in it.
It does have snow. I don't know. I just don't like movies that people think are supposed to be funny that are just dumb. You know what I do like?
What do you like?
Dumb and Dumber. That movie's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
You know other movies I love? Any Pauly Shore movie. Those are amazing.
You probably like Adam Sandler movies,
I do.
Too.
Well, not his like later ones, but yeah, Waterboy. It's like one of my favorite movies ever. I love it.
And that one's kind of dumb.
No, it's only my mama says it's so funny. I love, yes, Adam Sandler, Pauly Shore, those like 90s, Encino Man. Love it. It's amazing.
So are we going to go back and finish the season 4 of Fargo?
I'll see the season 4 of Fargo. It's a TV show, so it's in like 40-minute snippets. I can handle that better.
And it had more action than...
It did have way more
the
action.
The first half of the Fargo movie, the original, which reference... There's so many references between the two.
I understood the when I was watching this boring movie, I understood the references to the TV show that we'd already seen, but I didn't care because it was boring.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Gone Boss.
Be sure to check us out at GoneBoss.com or hashtag GoneBoss.
We're on Instagram at GoneBoss2K or find us on Facebook just by searching Gone Boss.
If you like what you hear today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you find your podcast.
Have a great rest of your day, and don't forget to tune in next week and find out who has Gone Boss.